Brad and Brit, Brad and Brit, the perfect combination of brawn and wit. Politics, sports, and trending shit. Let's tune into Brad and Brit.
It's the Brad and Brit cast, final one for this week. Thanks for jumping in here with us. We're live in the 1:30 hour Eastern time on Thursday, and it's a good list today.
Okay,
it's a good list today. Although I don't want to count this as a choice on the list. It's just, and maybe I should do this. I should just get rid of, you know, Fox notifications on my phone because they're all bullshit, deceptive, yeah. Pointlessly deceptive. Okay,
right.
You ready? This was 20 minutes ago. Ready? Republican who flipped blue House seat won't run for re-election. So you know where I'm coming on.
Yeah,
this.
I know.
Like,
yeah.
They can't put in there George Santos throws in the town. So they have to do it that way. And of course, when you click on the story, the headline is George Santos not running for it. It's just, God, they should be shut down. Oh, God. Oh, my God. I hate them.
The Athens report is out on Santos, and apparently he spent money on, campaign money on an OnlyFans account. That's one of the many things.
I thought he passed with flying colors. I thought they gave him a stamp of approval.
Well, but somehow immediately after the report comes out, he says he's not going to run for re-election. So if he did that, great. It kind of doesn't jibe, does it?
Here is his statement. And this is after the 56-page report breaking down 23 federal felony charges against him. By the way, a lot less than Trump has against him. But
well, you know, that is fair. That is exceedingly fair of you.
These include aggravated identity theft, wire fraud, credit card fraud, and conspiracy. Who doesn't have that?
Well, yeah, we've all done that.
Here it is.
I'm just saying, if we can't
I am humbled. Yes.
If we can't retain great public servants like this and we lose guys like this, I don't know where this country's going.
Well, who's going to want to run? Who's going to want to run for office if you have to be subjected to this kind of unfair? Here's his statement. I'm humbled yet again and reminded that I'm human and I have flaws, but I will not stand by as I am stoned by those who have flaws themselves. I will continue on my mission to serve my constituents up until I am allowed. I will, however, not be seeking re-election for a second term in 2024, as my family deserves better than to be under the gun from the press all the time. Then he switched over to an idea that's gaining traction among the best of us. State legislatures need to convene a new constitutional convention, which could radically alter the founding document, the Constitution, through a process that political scientists say would favor conservative state. Oh, that's it. I'm not going any further. That's too much.
That'll be fine. Yeah, that'll be fine.
That'll be enough. And of course, the question is, now you've realized, George Santos, that you're dead, that you have no business. You know, anyone that didn't vote to kick him out the last time they had a chance, really?
Yeah, right.
Remember, because that was a living example of the, you know, we're going to let the voters decide. Let's let the voters of, we don't want to disenfranchise the voters of New York and give them the opportunity to decide whether George Santos is. Stop. Unless you're willing to then say, you know, the voters decided in 2020 that Donald Trump was unfit for office, and you voted to help him overthrow the government. You can't say anything about George Santos. All right, enough of George Santos. He's going to be a great Trivial Pursuit question in the future, don't you think?
I guess. I suppose, yeah. I mean, it's just, our long national nightmare is close to over.
Yeah. That should be our worst national nightmare.
When you think that guy. Yeah, well, right, it's, like, it's, It's like a boil on your ass is what that guy is. I mean, it's not going to change your day, perhaps, but it is kind of painful, and it might, you know, you might have to situate yourself in your chair. And eventually when you get it removed, you go, damn, I don't know why I didn't get that taken care of earlier. That's what George Santos is, a boil on America's ass. All right, list time.
Expert Trump defense witness calls bullshit on Trump. On Trump. I agree with Trump on something that I saw last night.
Oh, wow.
Univision goes in the tank for Trump.
Oh, no.
The way we were and are going to move if Don is elected.
Oh, yeah.
RFK Jr. for hire, if you dare.
Yeah.
Warren Buffett tomahawk chop fetish. Who knew? And TikTok terrible.
Give me, I don't, gee, that's a pretty good one. Do the thing about the way we were and will be and gonna move and all that other shit.
Barbara Streisand says she's out of here if Trump is reelected.
Yeah.
Says that Biden's done a good job. And, you know, this always comes up constantly. It's come up with other presidents, with other so-and-so's. But in the case of someone like Barbara Streisand, well, she's 82 or something, has the money. I actually believe her. I believe that she'll leave.
She has the means, sure.
Yeah, that's right. I will move. I can't live in this country. She was on the Stephen Colbert Late Show last night, asked where she would go if not the United States. She said, England.
Yeah.
England. And she went on to talk about Joe Biden, said he's done a nice job. He's smart, supports the right things.
Yeah.
And then Colbert asked about anti-Semitism in the United States. It's so sad. There's plenty of it in England, too, but okay. When I take that back, you can't move anywhere where there isn't anti-Semitism. So I guess you have to take that off the board.
Wait a minute. They've just found swastikas painted on the ice at Antarctica. Yeah. You're done. Yeah. You can't really.
But I don't think she's alone. And I don't think that in this particular case, it's the you get to make fun of Barbara Streisand because she's Barbara Streisand and she said some goofy things over the years. She's actually a pretty intelligent person. And I will buy into that one. I will buy into that. Hopefully it will never become an issue because, oh, I did it again. I said issue.
Issue. Get a tissue.
Yeah.
I believe her. I just don't know if that sort of... I don't know if that's helpful because it always comes down to, all right, Barbara Streisand, she's going to move. That's not a good reason to vote for Trump. You know, it's for the dumbasses. Right. They do that shit all the time. I don't think it's going to garner Trump additional votes, but, right. You know, it's fine.
Yeah, but I also don't think it's going to solidify his support.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. She's publicizing the new memoir, which is like 920 pages.
Right.
920 pages, My Life in Stilettos. No, that's not what it is.
Oh, T. Perry read the book.
He enjoyed it. I mean, he doesn't like it when I go after Barbara.
He's yelping.
Yeah.
All right. I agree with Trump on something I saw last night.
Whoa.
So for 2 hours between about 6:30 and 8:30, the cable networks tap danced with the thing at the bottom of the screen, Biden press conference coming up.
Yeah. Right?
It was supposed to be at 7:15 Eastern time, and it didn't start until well after 8:30. Okay, fine.
Once again, Biden lies. Biden
lies. Besides that, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he came out, and this is me noticing this, and I'm not the only one. He's got these note cards in front of him, and he's shuffling them around as he's looking for the names of the next person he wants to call on. from the press, and he kind of fumbles through that. And the people who are asking the first couple questions, they are reading their questions, and Joe Biden is looking down 98% of the time while he's giving the answer. These are questions about China, mostly, and some about Israel, but he's clearly reading prepared answers to questions that it looks like he knew were going to come in that form. And I rolled my eyes and I said, oh shit, they're going to go fucking nuts on him because it's Joe Biden can't answer a question. He has to read the answer. All right. After three or four questions, it got a little bit more freewheeling and he wasn't reading the answers anymore. And what drives me crazy is that he is actually better when he just speaks from his heart. And sometimes he stops him. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't go. Fine. But he's still better doing that than making it look like that this is some kind of sham presentation of pre-prepared questions with pre-prepared answers. Unfortunately, Donald Trump agrees with me, but naturally he takes it a little bit too far and goes full conspiracy theory here and says Biden calls on a specific reporter, gets a question, then reads the answer off a card. In other words, he knows the question, then reads the answer. Raw Story says there's no evidence that Biden was reading the questions off card in advance. However, this is not the first time that either he or other presidents or other candidates have been accused of this. Hillary Clinton was accused of it. This is just not a good look because the one contrast that is undeniable is that when Trump actually takes questions from members of the press not named Sean Hannity,
right,
or when he did press conferences while he was president, he would go on for hours, nonstop, not reading anything. Not that he was saying anything important, intelligent, well thought out, grammatically correct, or sensible, but he had that image of being a guy who could stand on his feet and keep talking, which, by the way, is not a qualification to be president. It doesn't mean shit. But in the environment where the number one objection to Joe Biden, not just by all registered voters, but by Democrats, is he's too old to run and he's too old to serve. He can't do it in a second term. I thought that was a terrible look. I thought it was a terrible look. Gotta be honest.
When they talk about his stamina and his all that stuff, when he went over to Vietnam, stupid ass Peter Ducey's over there. And he is on TV and goes, well, they went through a marathon session. They're working all night. And then he realizes he's going against the meme of the entire network and the narrative that this old man is just a tired guy that needs 12 naps a day. And he has to kind of just correct himself, you know, because Biden has gone through these all night negotiations in Vietnam. I happened to be watching the Fox News channel when they stopped the remarks and went to the Jesse Waters show.
Jesse Waters,
a tremendous asshole. I just like to say, for those of you that thought, oh, maybe the guy's turned it around. Maybe he's become human. No, it's okay. He's exactly on brand.
Who thought that? Wait a minute. Who thought that? You're arguing against something that didn't exist.
You hold out hope.
Nobody
You know, at some it. Point in time, it was comedy, Brad. I really didn't think. I also didn't think that a frog was ever in a blender, okay?
Nope.
Jesus Christ.
No, they are. That's a...
So he comes back and goes, well, that lasted a lot less. The White House had said he was going to go a lot longer than that. That was number one. He doesn't answer enough questions. Number two is, I don't think we really found out anything there. I don't think anybody really had it. There was any details about anything. He just shits on it from Jump Street immediately after the things.
It was 25 minutes. it was 25 minutes. You can't.
What's the proper time? 30, 35? Stop me. 40,
oh, come 45, on, Britt. You know, 25 50, minutes is not
55.
For a guy who never holds press conferences.
It's never enough for those people. It's never enough for you. It's never enough.
You're right, Britt, because it's all I do is beat up Joe Biden.
He had a very I think he had a very good meeting with the Xi. They said at the press conference, didn't they go, hey, are you still going to call him a dictator? And he goes, yeah, because he kind of is, which I think is great. I mean, right.
But moments like that are the good moments, because right after that, it was said, I don't know if it was said on Fox, but elsewhere, it was, well, you know, that could change everything because President Xi doesn't like to be called a dictator. And
no, that's it.
Biden did that last year. And this could upset the whole thing. And you'll notice you've heard nothing about it today, because even President Xi, I'm sure, doesn't give a fuck that Joe Biden offhandedly said that.
I don't know.
I'm glad that he did, because, yeah, because the Fox turnaround would be, if Joe Biden answered the question, is President Xi a dictator? And President Biden said, no. Oh, my God. Yes. Right.
Well, I mean, the narrative on Fox is that he kissed Xi's ass anyway. I mean, that's number one. And number two is, geez, I don't know what. Now that Xi's pissed off that he called him a dictator, what's he going to do? Start, like, pumping fentanyl into this country? I don't know what could happen now. I mean, you know, come on.
And that didn't, none of that happened, so. Anyway,
after the thing goes, he goes to that donor's speech. He goes to that donor's meeting, or the whatever you call it, the fundraising thing. And he lights Trump on fire. He goes nuts with the whole Hitler thing and all that stuff. And he's kicking ass and taking names thing.
But see, that's what bugs me. And I assume that was kind of a test run.
Yeah.
Behind closed doors, where the campaign is going to be largely about Joe Biden saying what we're all saying, what is obvious, that Donald Trump is running for full dictator status in 2024, should he be the nominee. You like that qualification? Should he be the nominee?
Yeah, it is up in the air.
But, Britt, this is my point. In a nationally televised press conference that didn't start till 8:15 Eastern time, which meant it was prime time, baby, in the East, and at a much better time in the West than it would have been had it started an hour and a half before that. It would have been nice if that press conference would have gone longer, and questions not just about Israel and China would have been asked, including President Biden. Earlier this week, Donald Trump talked about erasing the vermin of this country in a second term. What is your response to that? Wouldn't it have been nice for him to say in his own words his response to that, not just later that night at a fundraiser where we hear about it and there's no video or audio of it? That's my point. 25 minutes, six questions about China and Israel, and the elephant in the room right now in America is the orange fuckface elephant that wants to be a dictator. And I'd like to see Joe Biden right now, not 3 months from now, not 6 months from now. I want him all in now on this. That's my
point. We landed on a campaign slogan, though, at the fundraiser, which is, there's a lot of reasons not to like Donald Trump, but damn, he shouldn't be president. That's it. That's one line. You're good. And you're all set.
Wait, I got one. You ready? Even Hitler rolled his eyes. What do you think? Even Hitler. Yeah. Wait, how about Hitler suing Trump for plagiarism?
That's right.
You like that one?
Intellectual property of Hitler has been protected all of these years.
Yeah. Yeah. I came up with that vermin thing. Who are you? Who are you?
Who are you? Expert Trump defense witness turns on Trump.
This is so good. This is so good. Courtesy of Business Insider. This happened yesterday, Wednesday. This was the third day of Trump's defense witnesses being put up there at his Manhattan fraud trial. So they got an expert accountant onto the stand. And here are this man's words to describe the creative math at the center of the case, right? It's certainly a red flag for me This guy is named Jason Flemons. He's referring to an internal Trump organization spreadsheet from 2016 that they put up on an overhead screen in the courtroom. I want to know more. The spreadsheet in which Trump claimed $200 in ready cash apparently wasn't really ready in cash. State officials say those millions were actually locked up in a partnership that Trump did not have sole authority to withdraw from. The judge, Judge Erdogan, said, is that a red flag? And Mr. Flemons answered, yes. Based on my expertise, I would have a lot of questions about it. This is a rather glaring issue.
Now, remember, this is a guy that's supposed to bolster the defense of Donald John Trump. This guy's
not only that, but this goes to the heart of he doesn't have any money and never did have any money. And if you would have run into him on the street and been a beggar, said, can I have $20? He would have had it on him. He doesn't have any money. I can't believe it.
Well, he's using mark to market. That's what he's using.
Whatever that means. He also testified that red flags pop up routinely for Trump when drafting net worth statements. He does say that. Happens all the time. And it certainly happened a lot in Trump's net worth statements. Is that the best witness on your behalf that you've got? I guess so.
Yes, that is the best witness that
because
they have.
No one, what quote-unquote expert witness who's in the actual business of auditing statements would get up there and say, well, yeah, Donald Trump is just, he's aces. If Donald Trump signs off on it, you can count on it. I'm not going to say it.
It's exactly the opposite. If Donald Trump says it, you know it's bullshit. You know that it doesn't exist in reality and you know it's false.
But not that this guy was perfect because he did read out of some of the old playbook, because they brought up that story about how Trump tripled the square footage of his apartment in Trump Tower. And Trump's excuse for that is, you know, we added a Trump premium to his total wealth and the size of the apartment. Just because it's his apartment, he gets to lie about the number of square footage.
What does that mean? What is
he blamed? He blamed that on this guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Flemons blamed that because of outside accountants who did that. Bullshit. That's bullshit.
What does it mean, a Trump premium? Just to have the name, it means so much, people will pay more for it? Like your platinum Visa, I'll pay $600 a year just to have that platinum thing and flash it once in a while at the restaurant. Look what I got.
Well, but at least that gets you into all the airport lounges.
Yeah, the lounges. Yeah, you can get like a vodka and cranberry. Not a vodka and bullshit, the way that what Trump serves. Once again, this is a witness the defense called to help out Donald Trump.
Yeah. As good as you get.
Again, I'm just starting to think that he doesn't have a great legal team. I'm starting to feel that maybe these people don't really know what they're doing.
They don't.
I don't think he ever started out with the varsity. But let's just, for the sake of argument, say, you know, the first string was good. Then we went to junior varsity. I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you.
But you know what? It almost wouldn't matter, because if you don't have the facts, you pound the table, right?
Well, yeah.
All they do is pound the table.
Even Johnny Cochran at this point is somewhere in hell going, I couldn't save this.
That's right. Well, that's the point. You could have the best lawyers in the world, but if you have the worst client in the world who's guilty, it's not
at some point. Yes, the actual facts of the case do kind of come into focus. And they kind of dictate whether you're going to be successful as a lawyer. Now, again, I never went to law school, never took the LSAT, none of that stuff. But I really think that that's true.
All right. RFK Jr. for hire, if you desire. Warren Buffett, tomahawk chop fetish.
Do the TikTok story. That's the one that's utterly, completely, and totally depressing and somewhat humorous. As the world burns to the ground.
Right. Well, you're old enough to be able to be so generationally distinct from college students. In other words, you're old enough not only to be any college students around parents, but you could be a grandparent by now, the way it works, right?
Would you stop? So, yes. In Lauren Boebert world, yes, I could be a grandparent. That's correct.
Yes, you could. And I would be a great, great grandparent. I don't know. you don't live in this world. I don't live in this world, but it's true that folks under, let's pick a number, 25, not only don't watch TV, not only don't watch TV news, not only barely scratch the surface of what we would consider to be legitimate, fact-checkable news sites, but they get most of their information from TikTok, TikTok videos. And apparently recently, it went viral, the Osama bin Laden video and pronouncement that he put out there after 9/11. And for all of us oldsters, you have to think hard about what that was all about. Remember, that was all about the 9/11 attacks were justified, number one, of course, because of Israel existing.
Right.
And number two, because of the United States having troops all over the Middle East. We want them out.
Correct.
And all these other reasons to supposedly justify flying airplanes into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and into the ground in the middle of Pennsylvania. And, you know, they wanted to hit the Capitol also, and that justified that. Nobody, if I recall at the time when that was put out, it was thought of this way. You know, all of those assertions have been there forever, and we understand them, but they have nothing to do with justifying the hijacking of airplanes in the way that that was done. And Osama bin Laden has been a known terrorist for a long time. This is in 2001. And no one with any sense of propriety or decency took those arguments seriously in terms of a justification, and on we went. And they finally tracked down Osama bin Laden, and you know the rest of the story. But all these years later, think about this. These people who are under 25 have no memory of 9/11 in actuality, right? It's it may as well be Pearl Harbor to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
It may as well.
So I was born. I was born 25 years after. Well, let me see. 29 years after Pearl Harbor. That's when I was born. So to you know, the a lot of these people were born, you know, 25 to 29 years after 9/11.
Right.
So well, kind of deep.
29 years. It's only been 22 years.
Well, right? That's true. 22. It's only been 20. So a lot of those people have been born, you know, since that.
They still really have no memory, even if
no
they're
no memory of it. Yeah, it's a mythical event, is what it was. They only know what people have told them mostly about, like you said, what they've learned off TikTok.
Right, because there's never anything been written about it. Apparently, it's not in history books yet.
No.
What does it have to be 100 years behind for them to? But you get the point. So if you learn about 9/11 in its current form on TikTok by someone extolling the virtues of what Osama bin Laden said after 9/11, and you match that up with Hamas and the Israeli war right now, well, what do you get? You get full-blown anti-Semitism. And if you match that up with the 18, 19, or 22-year-old brain, what do you get? You get protests. You get vehement opposition to Israel because they're the ones that are killing children. Mm-hmm. And they've got to stop that. And they are the ones that are bombing hospitals. And they must stop that. And we need a ceasefire now.
So they the TikTok has had to curb this because they got so many likes on the stuff that Bin Laden was saying after 9/11 as justification for running planes into buildings. And people, some of these young people are like, well, you know, that makes a lot of sense to me. The U.S. has been meddling in the Middle East. I see why it happened now.
I guess the origination of it was not on TikTok. It was people going on TikTok and grabbing the letter that Bin Laden wrote that was posted by The Guardian.
Yeah.
Newspaper, which is a very, very, it's a lefty paper. I like it, but you know, you got to be careful there. You got to be careful because these innocent minds made out of mush. Oh, there I did it again.
Well, you have some sort of issue?
Yeah. Their skulls full of mush.
Yeah. Funny stuff.
But TikTok, just in and of itself, then you have to start thinking about, well, okay, who owns TikTok? Why was it allowed to be up there? Well, you can't say that because, look, Facebook and YouTube and Google and X or whatever it is, they're letting off the guardrails, too, on this stuff. They're all saying now you can put all the shit you want up there about the 2020 election being a fraud again.
Right.
How do they decide to reverse that?
I don't know.
So I guess I go back to my original concept of 15 years ago, which is social media, even in its form then, is going to ruin the world. I didn't realize how right I was. It is very, very slowly.
A lot of that stuff that Bin Laden was saying back then, it appealed to the Ron Paul people, if you remember back in those days,
about us meddling
in the Middle East. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. If we would just get out of the Middle East, everything would be fine.
That was it. And then you have a lot of people now, a lot of young people who are using TikTok and agreeing with that stuff. They have no idea who Ron Paul is. They were like, maybe they've heard of Rand. Possibly they've heard of his son, but they've never really heard. They don't know who that guy is.
Yeah. Ron Paul still alive.
Yeah. Still hanging in there. Still alive and kicking. I don't know how his mind is. He may have a mind made of mush. I don't know. I have no idea. His son does. And he's not even old. So.
Right. Right. Speaking of sons, let's go with RFK Jr. here.
Yeah, for the hire. The previous problem with this guy was you saw the pictures of him walking barefoot on the plane, right?
What was that, a couple days ago where he took off his shoes and socks and walked down the aisle and he went into the bathroom. Is there anything more disgusting than the floor of a bathroom on an airplane? People miss. They pee all over. Jesus God.
It does. It has to be one of the most disgusting. Like if you did have a terrorist, if you did have Al-Qaeda, if you did have ISIS, you'd want to drag them face first down like that, down the aisle of an airliner.
And then stuff them in the bathroom the way Haystacks Calhoun got stuck in a bathroom once.
That's correct. Exactly. That's what I was thinking.
Is that a true story or a fake?
That was something you heard from somebody one time. I don't know. It has the ring of truth to it. I'll give you that.
How much did Haystacks Calhoun weigh?
Oh, 500, five bills, easy.
Well, here's the problem. Someone had to go into that bathroom after him.
Yeah, that is the problem. That's a problem for a lot of folks.
All right, this is up on the New York Times site, pretty close to the top, went up today, I guess early this afternoon, from Suzanne Craig, their ACE financial forensics reporter in 2021, RFK got $500,000 as chairman and top lawyer at the Children's Health Defense, the nonprofit that helped lead all the anti-vaccine bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Got $500,000 from them. But that was nothing because he earned about $7 million from other quote charitable groups for lending his name, his connections, and expertise to sue major corporations. So, bottom line, he has traded in on the fact that his name is Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
What else does he have?
It's just that simple.
He's got, that's the only thing that he's got.
Well, but here's, were you making an excuse for him? Wait a minute.
No, I did. That's, he said he has, I mean, if you have something else you bring to the table.
Well, Suzanne Craig writes that Mr. Kennedy inherited many things from his family, a charismatic presence, a gift for public speaking before he lost his fucking voice, a place among the nation's elite, but not necessarily the kind of money that would support both a life of altruism and the trappings of wealth that he seems to enjoy. So here's the problem. Joe Kennedy, that's, you know, Robert Kennedy, John Kennedy's father, you know, the old man, right, from the 30s and 40s, the original patriarch, poured a fortune into trust funds for his descendants. But because Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is not a, you know, he's the next generation, he didn't get quite enough to be able to live off the fat of the land. It's considered to be, quote, a relatively modest portion. Now, we don't know what that means. It can only mean he inherited $10 million. And, you know, that's not enough to live a comfortable life, Britt, if I don't know what the number is. I'm just making that up. So he's a shill for hire. That's all he is.
Yeah, he's the worst kind of nepo baby.
the worst
of all of them.
Yes, he is.
I saw the list the other day of the college athletes that are making the most. It's just nepo babies up and down the list. It's Deion Sanders' son. It's Bronny James.
Yeah.
It's Arch Manning. It's, you know, it's just on and on and on. It's nothing but Bo Nix, of course, whose dad played college football. Not a huge name, but Bo Nix is approximately 33 years old. He's been in college for 11 years.
This is why I'm a Trumper, because this has all happened under the presidency of Joe Biden, where these athletes are able to cash in on their names instead of their skills. And Donald Trump stands for working hard himself. And not, by the way, further down, we do have the number here. Mr. Kennedy owns between 4 and 15 million in inherited assets. It's funny, I said 10. I think I hit it right in the middle there, just off the top of my head. Lucky me, huh?
And again, we go to the, we can't really pin it down. It's somewhere between 4 and 15. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I am somewhere between 5'8 and 6'7. I'm somewhere in there.
Yep. Yeah.
Give me the Warren Buffett tomahawk chop addiction.
Oh, you know, Warren Buffett every 3 months has to talk about, you know, which stocks he's bought, which stocks he's sold. And he just dumped Procter & Gamble and bought the Atlanta Braves stock.
Really? Did he watch the playoffs? Kidding.
Yes, he did. Apparently so. Warren Buffett. So now he's betting on the Atlanta Braves.
What's the deal? That's the tomahawk chop. I thought we were talking about him going to some steakhouse in Omaha and getting one of those big ass tomahawk steaks or something like that.
Well, I tricked you. I'm like a Fox notification.
I think they got some pretty good, you know, they got some decent steakhouses there in Omaha. Some good beef and shit.
No, you cannot get Omaha steaks in Omaha. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. They just call them steaks. So Mr. Buffett is bullish on the Atlanta Braves and Sirius XM satellite radio. Is that currently what the deal is?
And not on P&G. Okay. Whatever.
Well, you know, at some point the magic will wear off. I'm joking.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't. What is he, like 94? Doesn't matter. Sure. It just doesn't matter.
I'm a little disappointed as I look at Greg Hunter's website. I don't know if he took the week off. I'm not getting a good update of who died this week from the COVID vaccine. I'm not. There's usually, you have a lot of good stories about, he'll just plow through the Plainview, Texas, Picayune booger eater, and he'll find, you know, somebody who dropped dead. and he'll blame it on the vaccine. I think we had a 14-year-old ROTC student last week in Texas who dropped dead, and that was Greg figured out that that was somebody who died from the COVID-19 vaccine.
He also dumped General Motors before buying up Liberty Media, which is the Atlanta Braves.
Weird. What's the deal with Univision?
Oh, boy. You know, this is actually a really big deal. This is co-opting the press kind of below the radar where most of us wouldn't notice because we're not Spanish language speakers, nor are we Spanish language television viewers. But one of the big anchors on Univision quit yesterday because Univision, which is now under new ownership, has gone completely in the tank for Trump. And they gave him an hour interview the other night, and they gave it to him at 10 o'clock.
Wow.
And it was such a big deal that they promoted it all day long. And at 10 o'clock, I guess, is when they have their big Televisa Nova soap opera thing. That's the big hour of TV. It's their most watched hour, and they promoted it. And it was 1 hour of full-on softball questions.
Wow.
To Trump. So one of the other people that works there says, I'm out. And it's been an absolute honor and privilege to be a part. You know, he said all the kind of nice things.
Yeah, all the nice stuff that's complete.
Apparently, the fact is he doesn't want to be associated with this network anymore. And the Biden campaign had bought commercials during that hour, which you see that all the time, right? Yeah. Very often on the Republican debates here, you'll see commercials that are bought by the Democrats or by Biden or during the breaks. That's just the way it is. You get to, you know, you do what you want. And Univision told the Biden campaign after they'd accepted the commercials to run, now, you know what? We're not going to run them. We've decided you're not allowed to run them because they didn't want to interrupt their 1 hour infomercial, in effect, for Donald Trump. They canceled all the spots.
This is the kind of a permutation under the surface is how Hispanic support for Joe Biden is eroding, right? You're seeing a lot of these headlines and stuff.
Well, but this is part of that. Yeah. And Trump, as much as we hate him, and we do hate him, he sees an opening here. He sees a new group of people, essentially, to lie to and to try to get them to completely forget what he's all about, to forget the racism, I mean, this is a guy that, 3 days ago said, we're rounding up every fucking person in the world that we want to, and we're sending them away. And
Then,
of course, on mainstream media, they go, well, you know, the Latino community, they're just as much against illegal immigration as everyone else. So therefore, blah, blah, blah. So the setup is there. And if you have, in effect, the Spanish language network, which is the most watched one.
Yeah.
And I believe overall it is the seventh most watched television network of all networks, including all the English. They're like number seven. So they're big. They're very big. If they can Fox News in Espanol for Trump, that's a big deal. That's a powerful thing. And that really zeroes in on swing states like North Carolina and Michigan and Ohio and Pennsylvania. There's lots of people who speak Spanish in all of those places. Arizona? Are you kidding? Nevada?
I think there's a lot of these. If you think that English speaking talk radio is a right-wing sewer, as you coined the phrase. There's a lot of that stuff. There's a lot. I know I've heard people talk about in Miami some of these Spanish language stations that are talk stations, mostly AM stations in the Miami area that are just right wing bullshit constantly, and they hammer it home. I think that's also another thing that is bubbling up under the surface as well. But again, voting against your own interest, it's not just for white folks. apparently that's a thing that anybody of any race, creed, color, and religion can do as well.
Just one little bit of a little bit more background on this. Remember, it was in 2015, right after his campaign started, that Trump held that press conference that he wasn't reading off of cards, where he threw out Jose Ramos, the leading anchor for Univision. Remember, Trump had that lurch, creep, thug. Bodyguard guy grab Ramos and tell him that you're not allowed to ask any questions. Get him out of here. So that was Univision then. Univision now has decided, again, just like Fox, they don't give a shit about the country. They don't give a shit about democracy. They don't give a shit about what's right and what's wrong. They don't give a shit about this guy tried to overthrow the United States of America just 3 years ago. They don't care about that. They see money here. And here's their statement. They say they've been pursuing an interview with Trump since 2015 when he tossed out Mr. Ramos. This interview held significant importance for our audience, and we're delighted that Enrique Acevedo, one of our country's most prominent award-winning journalists with experience in both U.S. and Mexico, had the opportunity to sit down one-on-one with Trump. They also said of dropping the Joe Biden campaign commercials, that decision was made by the company to abstain from political advertising during the interview. Similarly, there will be no Trump advertising during the President Biden interview we've been trying to secure for many months.
Well, that's fair and balanced. I'll tell you right now, that's fair and balanced. But why don't you ask him, like, what kind of cages are you thinking of putting the kids in that next term, sir, when you get back in office?
Here's the problem. He's not the nominee yet. You're interviewing a guy who isn't even, if he was the nominee.
He's going to get the nomination. Unless he drops dead, you can't even say if they lock him up if he actually gets convicted, because he's still probably going to win the nomination then. That's the only way he doesn't win that nomination. You know that.
Yeah, but see, even Fox now won't do an hour-long, unedited live interview with Trump anymore. They won't do it anymore. That's because because he'll say something and they'll be back in court getting sued for another couple $1 billion. So they're kind of smart.
Right.
But Univision apparently didn't get the message. They didn't get the telegram.
I think there's more of this stuff that goes on. Like I said, on some of these Spanish language talk stations and stuff like that, that's going to be something to watch over the next year. And you'll just be amazed that anybody who has any kind of Hispanic heritage could ever even consider voting for this guy. You know, I just look at it and it just, the support erodes.
We're near the end of the podcast, so we know nobody's listening or watching anymore. We can go as fully stereotype as we want. What ethnic group respects macho strength more than any other that you could think of offhand? Come on, tell me.
It's not only they respect macho, but it's like fake macho, like show macho, you know?
Right. What's the wrestling in Mexico?
Lucha Libre.
Yeah.
Lucha Libre, which I think does air on Univision.
Yeah.
That's a great campaign stop for Trump, just to go down to Mexico City. Well, maybe he doesn't want to go to Mexico. I think he's still fairly unpopular south of the border. I think that still holds true.
Is the NFL playing any games in Mexico City this year?
I don't know if they are.
I know they're done with all the European stuff.
Yeah, they didn't put the Raiders down there because, you know, when the Raiders show up, they get a lot of support. The Cowboys have a lot of support there. But no, I don't think
the problem
they are.
Is when the Raiders play in Mexico, they got to check the plane for the fentanyl that gets smuggled back in.
dare you?
The back of the plane.
How dare you?